I'll be speaking today from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 38. And our subject is, the just shall live by faith, or living faith. Now, next Sunday morning, I'm going to preach on the forgiveness of sins. Will God forgive sin? And I think that message will be a blessing to you also. Now, these messages, the one this morning, living by faith, and the one next Sunday morning on the forgiveness of sin, will be on the same cassette tape. I wanted it that way. I want you to have these two messages on the same tape. Let's pray that the Spirit of the living God will give me some wisdom and liberty to deliver these messages, and that the Spirit of God will give you ears to hear the Word, eyes to see the beauty and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a heart to embrace Him, to receive Him, to love Him, to believe on Him. Now, if you will, take your Bible and open it to Hebrews chapter 10, the 10th chapter of Hebrews, verse 38. And let me read it to you, Hebrews 10, 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, I've preached from this text many, many times, and I expect to preach from it many more times. And I'll give you four reasons why I've preached so many sermons from this one text. The just shall live by faith. First of all, because it occurs so many times in the Word of God. Did you know that this one statement, the just shall live by faith, occurs four times in the Word of God? You'll read it in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. You'll read it in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. You'll read it in the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. And you'll read it in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now, a text repeated so many times in God's Word is sufficient justification to preach on it quite often. The just shall live by faith. This was the verse of Scripture that the great Martin Luther read and was used of the Holy Spirit to convince him that a man could not be saved by works. Martin Luther was a monk in a monastery, cooped up in a small cell, trying to establish a righteousness before God. He was trying to find acceptance with God by the deeds and works which he performed. And studying the Bible, he came across this verse of Scripture, "The just shall live by faith." And he read it. And then he went on reading other parts of the Scripture, but his mind kept coming back to this verse of Scripture because he wasn't living by faith. He wasn't trying to find redemption by faith. He wasn't looking to God by faith. Martin Luther was depending upon his works, the deeds of the law, his religion, to present him to God Almighty, to find acceptance with God Almighty. And it wasn't till the Holy Spirit made this one verse of Scripture, the just shall live by faith, it wasn't till the Holy Spirit made it effectual to his understanding that this man came to any peace or joy in Christ Jesus. The just shall live by faith. It occurs four times in God's Word. Another reason why I preach often upon this passage of Scripture, the just shall live by faith, is because faith is the foundation of all graces. The graces of God are love and peace and joy and long-suffering and patience and meekness. But the foundation of all these graces is faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And our Lord Jesus said, "He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son, whatever else he has." He may have some degree of love or some degree of joy or some degree of kindness and humility in these things. But if he hath not faith, he hath not life. He that believeth on the Son of God hath life. He that believeth not the Son of God shall never see life. So faith is the foundation of all grace. It's the beginning. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe. He doesn't say ought to or should. It'd be better if he would. He said he must believe. He must believe. That's the foundation of all grace. Our Lord Jesus Christ told the Apostle Peter that he would deny him. And yet he finished with this remark, But I've prayed for you, that your faith fail not. That's the main foundation. That's the very ground of all other graces. And then the third reason why I preach so often on the just shall live by faith is this. The Word of God is written that we might believe. That's the purpose of the Word of God. Now the Bible is not just a scientific book. I think the Bible is scientifically accurate. I believe one of these days that we're going to look back over the Word of God and see that it was scientifically accurate. The Word of God is true. And the Word of God is a book of history, accurate accounts of what happened in the past. The Word of God is a book of philosophy and a book of love, but the Word of God was written not that you might study the subject of science or philosophy or a book of proverbs or good sayings or morality, but the Bible was written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in His name. That's what it says in John chapter 20, verse 31. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And I would say a word to you who teach Sunday school and to you who preach. When you're preaching on the ark of Noah, that ark is a picture of Christ. When you're preaching on Israel being delivered from Egypt and the Passover lamb being sacrificed and the blood on the door and the lintel, that blood is Christ. The high priest of old was a type of Christ. The tabernacle where God met men and men met God, that tabernacle is Christ. That rock in the wilderness when Moses, when the people were thirsty and had no water to drink, and God told Moses to smite the rock, which he did, and water came out of the rock. Well, the Bible clearly says that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. And our Lord said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. That serpent is a picture of Christ. As Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale. You know, people talk about, sit around and argue about whether Jonah was really in a belly of a fish or he wasn't. And they spend all their time talking about the marvels of being in the whale's belly and so forth. The whole reason for that story is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Jonah was 3 days in the heart of the earth, so the Son of Man shall be 3 days. And Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man shall be 3 days in the heart of the earth. It's a picture of the burial of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. So this Bible is not just a book of proverbs or a book of science or a book of history or a book of philosophy. It's a book of life. They're called the words of life. The words of life. And they're written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Now, notice what this text says and what it doesn't say. It says the just shall live by faith. It does not say, now note this carefully and this will help you. It does not say the just shall live because of his faith. We don't live spiritually because of our faith, on account of our faith. Christ said, because I live, ye shall live. We live because Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Eternal life is not in my faith. It's in the object of my faith. It's in Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ is the hope of glory. When we end this life and our bodies are buried and our souls go to be with God who gave it, the song of the redeemed is going to be unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own precious blood. We're not going to sing the praises of faith, or the praises of repentance, or the praises of the church, or the praises of the ceremonies and the law. We're going to sing the praises of Christ. Because I live, ye live. We don't live because of our faith. Faith is not the cause of life. Christ is the cause of life. Faith is not the begetter of life. Christ is the begetter of life. He is our life. Christ in you. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. So that needs to be established. This text is not saying the just shall live because of his faith. This text also does not say the just shall live upon his faith. We don't feed on faith. I'll tell you this. If I had to live on my faith and feed upon my faith and draw my nourishment, spiritual nourishment and strength from my faith, sometimes I'd starve to death, and you would too, because our faith is so small. We feel like the centurion of old who said, Lord, I believe. You know I believe. But God help my unbelief. My friends, we don't feed on our faith. We don't have faith in our faith. We don't rest upon our faith. We don't draw our nourishment and peace and strength from faith. We draw it from Christ. Our Lord said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the water of life. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come unto me, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Christ is the water of life. Christ is the bread of life. And he said, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. So this needs to be established as we begin this message on the just shall live by faith. Not because of faith. We live because Christ died for us. We live because Christ intercedes for us. We live because Christ is our substitute and our sin offering and our great high priest and our mediator with the Heavenly Father. Our life is in Christ. Our life is not in our faith. It's in the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our life. And then we don't live upon our faith. We don't draw from our faith any strength. We draw our strength from Christ. We don't get any nourishment or strength or grace from our faith. Faith may be strong today and weak tomorrow, but Christ is the same. I may be on the mountaintop of joy and happiness today and tomorrow in the valley of doubt even and fear and darkness, but Christ is the same. And whether I'm on the mountaintop or in the valley, I draw all of my life and strength from him. I live because Christ lives, and I feed upon Christ. And ye that hunger and thirst, he said, come to me. You'll never hunger and thirst. But it says this, the just shall live by faith. By faith. Now, what do we mean by that? First of all, we live a life of justification before God by faith. In Romans 5, verse 1, the scripture says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what it means to be justified? It means to be completely without sin. It means for all sin to be taken away, blotted out, covered over, removed, remembered no more. Someone gave this definition one time. He says to be justified means just as if I had never sinned. Can you imagine such a thing? And yet that's exactly what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified before God, justified in the sight of God. We're justified not by our words. If I say I have no sin, I'm a liar and the truth's not in me. If I justify myself, my own mouth will condemn me. We're not justified by words or claims. We're not justified by works. No man's justified by works in the sight of God. We're not justified by law. We're justified by the obedience, the righteousness, and the death of the Son of God. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And before God, on our account, the law is honored, justice is satisfied, and God is reconciled. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So by faith in Christ, listen to me, by faith in Christ, we live a life of justification before God, in the sight of God. We are totally justified because Christ Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree. By his stripes, we're healed. We live a life by faith of complete justification in the sight of God. We are justified. There are no charges against us. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That's what Paul asked in Romans 8. It is God that justified. Who is he that condemneth? Christ has died, is risen again, has ascended to the right hand of God, and makes intercession for us. We live by faith, not by works, not by deeds, not by law, by faith. A life of complete justification before God. That's happiness. That's peace, and that's joy. To know that our sins are forgiven. You know what Paul wrote in Romans 4, 7, and 8? Blessed is the man to whom God will not charge sin. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man to whom God will not impute or reckon any sin. Now, that's not performed by us. We can't do a thing in the world about the sins we've already committed, we're now committing, and we shall commit. But God can do something about them. He can do it in a way that is satisfying to his justice and honoring to his holiness and in keeping with his righteousness. And that's by the death of his son. So we live by faith. We live a life of justification before God. Secondly, we live a life of righteousness before God. Do you know that every believer is totally and completely sanctified in Christ Jesus? I know there's a progressive sanctification. I know there's an eternal sanctification. We're sanctified or separated or set apart by the act, the will, the counsel, or purpose of God Almighty. And we're sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And we're progressively sanctified by the Word of God. But my friend, there is a sense in which every believer is totally, completely sanctified by the obedience, by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a perfect righteousness. The hymn writer put it this way. When I stand before his throne, clothed in beauty, not my own, then and not till then shall I know how much I owe, how much I owe. Paul put it this way in Romans 5:19. He said, by the offense of one man, by the sin of one man, many were made sinners. By the disobedience and sin of one man, we were made sinners. By the righteousness and obedience of Christ, we were made holy, righteous. So we live by faith. This is all by faith. It comes by faith. It's received by faith. It's given by faith. We live by faith, a life of complete justification. No charge, no condemnation, no sin. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. We live a life of perfect righteousness with his spotless garments on. We are as holy as God's own Son. And then we live a life of peace, a life of joy. That's something the whole world is trying to find, peace and joy. You know where it's found? It's found in Christ. He's the Prince of Peace. He talked about my joy, that my joy might be fulfilled in you. He said, come unto me. I'll give you rest. He said, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, there are three things I believe that every religious person's looking for. He's looking for the way to God. I know a lot of them are trying to find the way to God by the baptismal pool and the sacramental tables and the communion tables, and they're trying to find the way to God by works and deeds and laws and humanitarian efforts and all these things. But Christ said, I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Do you want to know, sincerely want to know the way to God? The way to God in mercy and salvation. The way to God in reality and communion and fellowship. Christ is the way. I believe that most religious people are looking for the truth. And I imagine lots of people today are saying, I wonder if that preacher preaching right there on that program is telling the truth. Is he telling me the truth? Who's speaking the truth? Who's preaching the truth? Everybody says they're preaching the truth, and yet so many are preaching so many different things. Who's preaching the truth? Christ said, I am the truth. The truth is a person. It's not a philosophy. It's a person. Christ is the truth. Christ is the truth. He's the truth of God. No man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Would you know God? That's what the disciples said. They said, show us the Father. And he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. The words that I speak are not my words, they're His words. The works that I do are not my works, but His works. Would you know God? Would you know the truth? Don't look for the truth in any living human being today. Look for the truth in Christ. The truth about yourself and the truth about God and the truth about justice and righteousness and love and holiness. The truth is Christ. And then men are looking for life, eternal life. Where is eternal life? Where can I get eternal life? What can I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to gain eternal life? Christ said, I am the life. The life is in Him. Eternal life's in Christ. Eternal life's to know God and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. Christ is the life. I can't emphasize that strongly enough. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. What is faith? The just shall live by faith. What is faith? All right, look at Hebrews 11:1. Right down there. Hebrews 10:38 is our text, the just shall live by faith. Now drop down just two verses there to Hebrews 11, verse 1. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now that's faith. Well, let's look at that a little bit. Years ago, an old writer gave this definition of faith. Faith is knowledge, confidence, and committal. That's good. I know whom I have believed. You can't trust an unrevealed Christ. And I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him. It's knowing Christ. It's having confidence in Christ. And it's a committal, a sincere, earnest, eternal committal of myself to Christ. Not just my talents and time and tithe, but committing my heart. My son, give me your heart, God said. Give me your heart. If thou shalt believe in thine heart, God raised him from the dead. Give me yourself. It's a committal of self to Christ. But here's a scriptural definition of faith. It says faith is. We're always safer when we get scriptural definitions. You know, Christ said eternal life is to know God. Our Lord said that. And here Paul, writing on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, what are the things that we hope for? In order to understand this verse, let's answer the question, what are the things we hope for? Well, we hope for forgiveness of sins. We hope for righteousness before God in Christ. He who shall stand in His presence, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. I want that righteousness. I want to know that righteousness. And then I hope for eternal joy and eternal glory. I hope for the resurrection of this body. I hope for deliverance from death and judgment. I hope for eternal fellowship with God. Those are the things hoped for. Well, then he says faith is the substance, or faith is the confidence and the assurance and the title deed to these things. At this moment, these things are our hope. These are the things we hope for. Forgiveness of sin, righteousness, acceptance with God, resurrection, eternal life. Well, faith is the ground of that hope. I hope for those things. And what is the substance of them and the ground of them and the foundation of them and the title deed to them? Is to believe. Abraham believed God. Abraham had the promises. He staggered not at the promises of God, but he believed that everything God said, God would do. Now, that's what faith is. It's believing just that. It's staggering not at the promise. What a great promise is complete remission of sins, complete annihilation of all curse and all condemnation and all guilt. What a blessing is righteousness before God, to stand holy, justified, without blame, before God. Well, now, faith is the substance of that. It's the ground of that. It's the evidence of it. It's the assurance of it. It's our faith. Abraham believed God. Abraham, why are you leaving your home? I believe God. Abraham, why are you giving Lot the plains and going to the mountains? I believe God. Abraham, why are you sitting about waiting on a son in your old age? I believe God. That's the substance of the whole thing. I believe God. Who do you believe? And then he said, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the proof of things not seen. What are the things not seen? Well, there are a whole lot of things not seen in regard to our relationship with God. Everything that happened in eternity past is not seen. In the eternal counsels of God, God established a covenant with His Son, with the Holy Spirit. God purposed to save a people. All of that, Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Everything that happens in time was purposed in eternity. I haven't seen that. And then in time, it says the virgin was with child and brought forth a son, and the star hung over his birthplace, and the angels announced his incarnation, and he walked the earth and lived a perfect life and died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. I didn't see any of that. And then in time, the Holy Spirit came and regenerated me and called me by His grace and revealed Christ to my heart. Those things are not seen. And then in the future, God's going to raise us, and God's going to receive us unto Himself, and God's going to give us eternal glory. These things are unseen. Unseen. Then what proof do we have that these things are facts, not fiction? Faith. We believe God. The hymn writer says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He's living. Whatever men may say, I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives? Faith. He lives in my heart. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, the proof of it, the reality of it in heart. And I'll tell you, faith will overcome anything. Thanks be unto God who causes us to always triumph in Christ, victorious in Christ. Faith will triumph over works as Abel sacrificed. Faith will triumph over death as Enoch's translation. Faith will triumph over time as Noah's long-suffering, 120 years. Faith will triumph over home and family as Abraham proved by leaving his father's house. Faith will triumph over infirmity, as Sarah proved, bringing forth a child in old age. Faith will triumph over natural affection, as Abraham proved with the sacrifice of his son. Living by faith. Living by faith.